As I told you on my first call on March the 9th, that my why, my reason for doing this every Friday was because I wanted to encourage you. To encourage you to be all that God created you to be. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 tells us to encourage one another and build one another up. That was and continues to be my why. So this week, it's my hope and prayer that you'll receive these weekly words as words of encouragement, words of victory and not fear. As this old world gets darker and darker, it's imperative that we understand what's going on and how to deal with it. As followers of Christ, it's possible for us to live in a Christian bubble and oftentimes feel helpless to do anything about what's going on all around us. So we just do nothing. But doing nothing is a lie from our enemy, Satan. There's plenty of scripture that gives us instruction on how to live and how to glorify our Lord right here and right now, today. We are in a spiritual warfare. It's taking place in the heavenly places. It's real. We can't see it, but it's there, and our minds are the target. We're told in 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, our enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking, looking for someone to devour. And he's going to come at us in the areas where we're most vulnerable and also where we're most effective. Satan knows he can't destroy us or take us away from Christ, but his goal is to disgrace us, discourage us, depress us. John 8 says Satan is a murderer. Look at our suicide rates. They've increased 30% in this country since 1996. We're fighting in an invisible war that's waged against God and his followers. That's us. And the war is taking place in Satan's territory, this world. We're told in Ephesians 2:2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the world. And in John 12:31, he's the ruler of this world. Revelation tells us he fights with his army of fallen angels against everything God is doing in this world. He will cast doubt on God's word. He's been doing that, fighting to undermine God's created order from the very beginning. We all know the story of the Garden of Eden. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Oh, that's how he deceives folks. Charles Spurgeon said, discernment isn't simply a matter of telling the difference between what is right and what is wrong. Rather, it is the difference between right and almost right. We must stop massaging God's truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Just think of the friends you have, that I have, that don't believe that Jesus is God's Son. Think of those you're associated with, that you see on TV or read their blogs on the internet. Satan has blinded their minds to the truth. And if we're not willing to engage with the enemy in this battle for their souls, they'll spend eternity in hell. God has chosen us as his way of bringing people into his kingdom. We're to tell them. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts them. I've been in sales all my life, and the hardest thing for me when sharing the gospel is to accept the fact that I can't close someone. I have to leave that up to God. My job, our job, is to show and tell. You remember when you were in school and you had show and tell time? You'd take something from home, show it to the class, and then tell them about it. Well, more than likely, that's before your time. But as followers of Jesus Christ, he wants us to show his light through us, and then we're to tell folks all about his light, his love. Well, how I do praise God that we're told in 1 Corinthians 13 that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. One of God's scriptures that's most precious to me is John 17:15. Right before Jesus was crucified, he prayed to the Father. He said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world." He was talking to his about his disciples, "but that you will protect them from the evil one." And then in verse 20, he continued, "My prayer is not for them alone," not only for the disciples, but he said, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." That's us, you and me. We were on his mind right before he looked toward heaven and said, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." That just goes way down deep in my soul to think that he was thinking of protecting me and you right before he left this earth. Then later he tells us through Paul and the other authors of the scriptures how we're to live. In 2 Corinthians, he says that though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. God always wants us to win the battles we're in. When we win our battles with the enemy in his strength and power, it glorifies Jesus. He's already won the war, but our battles will go on until he returns. Next week, we're going to talk about how we're to engage the enemy and the weapons that he's provided for us to use. Just remember, as you go through each day this week, that the adversity, the trials, the problems that come into your life are from the enemy. And one of his most powerful weapons is to deceive you and keep you from believing that he is real and he wants to destroy you. Bye for now. You have a great week. And remember that through Christ, we can do all things.